Okay, so I'll start with an injury update. So the most pressing one, I guess, from your perspective and probably ours as well, is Dangerfield. So we're still not in a position to give a clear outlook on his availability, but it's more optimistic than not. I think I'm not really at liberty to sort of outline the details around his injuries, and I say that specifically, injuries plural. But yeah, the likelihood is that he'll be available. We just need to work out whether that's the right thing for him and for us longer term. We had a few issues from the VFL game on the weekend, so Quinton Narkle has a little bit of a hamstring niggle that we don't think is too serious, so his availability is in doubt. And then a few guys that have been back playing, so Jed Buse, Lockie Fogarty are continuing to progress well and are really at the stage now where we're thinking seriously about their availability at AFL level. Sam Menegola is unlikely to play before the mid-season bye with that minor knee surgery. And Lockie Henderson's getting closer to return from that ruptured plantar fascia. Any others you're thinking about? He's in that same bracket with Fogarty and Buse. Yeah, so probably a little behind in terms of his availability for senior selection, but he's progressing well.
Was there an issue with Constable?
There was. There's a little bit of a, I'm going to call it a groin issue. That's the broad description. But it was more off the back of a knock rather than something similar to a soft tissue strain. It was more a hip contact. But, yeah, we think he'll be okay, but we're not exactly sure yet.
Same
game through Quinton Arthur? The same side, yeah. Yeah, but neither issue was serious, and the doubt really at the moment is because it wasn't serious. There's a very strong chance that he would come up, but given it wasn't serious, he played. He didn't get quite through the game. It's likely that at least from the coach's perspective, we'd be a bit more cautious on that one.
Does that look absence open the door for Fogarty?
Not necessarily. I mean, our view is that when we think it's right for Lockie to play, he'll force his way into the 22 irrespective of availability. And we don't think of him necessarily as a pure forward now, whereas we may have had more that view last year.
Did you consider an appeal, Gary Edwards?
Not for a second. It was pretty clear cut. And I think my bias, to be clear, is always to defend our club and defend our players, especially when we believe they have right on their side, and especially as it relates to intent. So I'm very confident that was the right thing to do in the previous issues. This was a clear-cut case of the lack of discipline. And irrespective of the MRO position, the umpiring fraternity has been really clear that whether you like it or not, any sort of punching action is going to draw a free kick. So people can look at some of the seemingly innocuous incidents off the ball, but as soon as you clench your fist and make contact with someone, they're going to pay a free kick. And we've got to stop complaining about that. So I may have sounded like I was coming to his defence more strongly than some others might have in previous weeks, but we didn't have a leg to stand on this week.
Have you left him up there just a holiday and relax with his family and just have a bit of time out, or is he back here now, back into training?
That sort of thing? No, he's taking a break.
It's, I suppose, good timing for him just because of his age and that sort of thing at mid-season as well.
I would prefer to have him playing against Sydney, but as I've forecast many times, he was going to have probably at least a week off in addition to our mid-season bye at some stage, and as it turns out, this is it.
What's his explanation given it's going to
be Tuesday? He can't explain it. So, given that, let's not make up a fictitious reason. Let's move on and concentrate on what sort of behaviour we're going to see into the future. I've got complete confidence that he knows what he needs to do from here.
Has he opened himself up to the players trying to wind him up a little bit?
Maybe. 330 games, he's in the conversation of the best players of all time. They deal with that stuff.
Did you feel the need to talk to him, or did you just leave him alone on that matter, knowing that he knows he's done the wrong thing?
No, I mean, it's a... it's. I describe it as a mature adult conversation. I'm not that much older than he is. Now, I hope that I don't sound condescending when I deal with any of our players, much less 35-year-olds. So it wasn't a long conversation because he knew just as well as I did that it wasn't the right thing to do. And we could have sat down for half an hour trying to work out why he did it. The most important thing was, do we think there's a risk of it happening again? And once we established that we thought that was a very, very low risk, job done.
You don't negate Buddy, but also Reid now. Reid kicks his goals, obviously. You can't just stop one, you've got to stop both.
Yeah, well, it's more than them. I mean, Papley's as dangerous as either of them on inside forward 50, albeit with a different style as a ground level player, and then they've got McCartan as a really strong marking forward. Sinclair gets down there as well. You know, a few younger players. You know, Haywood's a very high quality player. I mean, I've heard some commentary around the fact that they're a new team. I don't think they can point to a lack of class as an issue in their performance. They've got some very, very high quality players, and Franklin coming back only improves that. But you're right, if the focus goes on to Franklin, then there's three or four others, as Reid showed on the weekend, that can really hurt you.
Who will get the job on Buddy? Do you feel is Pritzard's the logical choice, or Harry Taylor? Who do you think goes to?
Well, one of the two.
Thank you.
But it depends a little bit. I mean, I think you know me well enough now to know that I don't forecast our game plan too much before we play. And I actually don't like talking about it post either. But I can understand the interest in one of the great power forwards of all time against one of the emerging key defenders of the competition. That would be a good matchup. But if they choose to play him in a spot where it doesn't suit us to have Blitzarves next to him, then you know the matchup won't eventuate. But I'd expect that they'd be near each other for decent parts.
Chris, do you see clearance numbers as an issue on your side?
That's you need to be more specific. Yeah, we were. Yeah, but there are. I mean, the reason I asked for more specificity was clearances tend to be a really broad number and can be deceiving. So, if you're talking about our performance of the stoppages, we would like to be better. But sometimes you can lose clearances, but the quality of those you lose for the opposition are quite poor. And because of the way you're set up, it might be harder for you to win them, so your overall numbers are down. But when you do win them, the quality's much greater. So scores from stoppages tend to be a better number, except in games where field position's crucial, and they tend to be the games where it's wet and slippery, as it was up on the Gold Coast. But the stoppage numbers were poor, but a lot of the other metrics were very, very positive, and you know they need to fit together. So it's just more complicated than saying, let's not change anything else but win the stoppages and think everything will be all right. You need to make adjustments to improve that, which could compromise you in other positions. I mean, Darcy's making it hard for me. And I've got to be careful because, I mean, we love what Darcy's doing, and he's got a lot of AFL footy in front of him. But yeah, I've said it publicly, so I can't shy away from it now, and I haven't changed my view. I really like Asava, but it doesn't mean I like him more than some of the others. So we are, you know, as is the case with a few of our VFL guys who have been putting together some good performances for a few weeks in a row, we think Asava is in the position now where he's ready to come back in and play play close to his best. And it's been a different preparation to say Fogarty, Buse and Selwood, who have been playing at VFL level. The best preparation for him was to not play footy for a period of a couple of weeks and get some quality training into him, and we think that has him in better shape now than he was 2 weeks ago.
How important have the early wins been for the way you can manage your team in the second half of the year?
I mean, we would like to think, albeit naively, I think, that we'd handle it the same way irrespective of the win-loss. But we know that's not the reality. But we would try to get as close to that as possible. And there are some things that I am sure that we wouldn't waver on, and that's when it comes to managing young players. And again, it's much more complicated issue than just saying, well, we want to rest them every now and again, because building some resilience and the ability to back up game after game is an important part of their development too. And the other one is older players or players managing injury issues. We tend not to waver based on win-loss or the opposition, as compared to other issues where it's a bit more of a proactive move. But look, I think it gives us a little bit more room than we would otherwise have, but the win-loss ratio is not the most important factor in that decision-making.
Are you planning for Daniel Manson to play against you on Saturday, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, we're planning for every eventuality with their team. They've actually been relatively stable. I mean, Kennedy goes out, so there's one spot that could come back in. I know they've played 30 players across the season, but they have got back to some stability the last couple of weeks. Menzel, that would be an interesting conversation at their match committee level. Do they play McCartan and Menzel and Reid and Franklin? That's a lot of marking forwards, but maybe Papley and Haywood and Fox balance them out quite nicely. As I said, they're not bereft of talent.
Watching the mid-season draft change your view or
across
you at all, Chris, given
what players
can
have
changed?
Sorry, what's my view?
Well, you weren't a fan of the mid-season draft,
eh? Oh, no, I should say really clearly, our responsibility is to get with the program. So if they bring a mid-season trade period, we'll get with the program and do it as well as we possibly can. But you're right, and this is more a list management team view rather than my personal view. The art of list management is around, in our view, designing your list for the upcoming year. And the idea is that everyone starts at zero at the start of the year. You shouldn't get a chance to get a jump on the rest of the competition halfway through the year because you're going a bit better than you thought, or there's an opportunity that wasn't there at the start of the year. And the mid-season trade would exacerbate that. But again, if the argument is it's coming in, get used to it, well, we'll be ready for it. I think the wonderful part about it is that there's, was it 14 players? Whatever it was, and get the opportunity to live their dream and play AFL footy. I mean, I'm thrilled for Ryan Gardner, who was on our list, that he gets the opportunity to play AFL footy again. But the downside's real, isn't it? I mean, if you're a dyed-in-the-wool SANFL club supporter, you haven't got much love for the AFL this morning. And we can completely understand that.
A lighter note, Brad's got a bit of time up his sleeve. Are you worried about his golf game's going to improve?
Yeah, a little bit. He'll never be able to putt, though, so I'll be fine.